Good evening, everybody. This is James McCanny with my Science Hour for January 31st, 2019. Already rushing along into this year. Many topics to cover tonight, and some dealing with science and some borderline science. I'll be talking about Venezuela. The real story there, I'll be talking about NASA wanting to push an asteroid around. Oh, my goodness. Who let these idiots out of their playpen? Let's see. We have Charlie Brown weighing in on the California fires. Yes, Charlie Brown. And so, and then I'll talk about the PG&E bankruptcy and a lot of the what you don't see in the press. And also some very recent work that was done on the Colbrin. Excellent, excellent work. And, of course, talk a little bit about my presale of my book, $24.95 on my webpage. It's here's the benefit of buying it the pre-release sale. By the way, the release will be February 13th this year, February 13th on the John Moore Show, Wednesday morning, Republic Broadcasting, where I'm a guest every Wednesday morning. And then also you're going to get the release, the download email. This is an e-product. And it's not just the book. It's going to be a lot of supporting material. And so you will get the email to download it the day of the release. And if you wait until the day of the release or afterwards, you're going to have to wait. Because at that point, I expect a big rush of orders. And it's going to take us a bit of time to go through those because there's different ways to purchase it. You can purchase it directly for $24.95. You can purchase it as part of one of the libraries, which it would be included in any of the libraries. And then also if you purchase over $350 worth of products, any combination of products on my sales page, then you get it for free. And so that's another way to get it. So we have to sort all this out, and I'll be very busy with a lot of other things the day of the release. So that's the advantage of purchasing the book, the mystery book, the newest mystery book from James McCanny. And it's going to be very special. Let me just put it that way. And it's going to be written for many levels of people who are just regular people walking down the street, chewing gum and walking at the same time, and then there'll be people who are more advanced in both physics and mathematics, and then people who are very advanced. Okay, so at any rate, no more chatter about that. I'm going to talk. Yesterday I was a guest on a show. It's called Ernest Hancock Show, and he's basically, I don't know if you could say libertarian, but he believes in complete decentralization of just literally everything, including currency, including purchases, without the overseeing eye of the banks, etc., that all of this could be handled. And his, a long time ago, I wrote a white paper basically for myself. And by the way, this was in my show notes a number of weeks ago. I encourage young people, old people too, to sit down and write the what you want to do. What do you want to do with your life? And I've counseled people on this topic, and they're very happy when I explain this to them. And this is something I've done with my life repeatedly over and over again, not just once. But you sit down with a blank piece of paper and nobody around, the phone turned off, you know, the TV off, sit in a quiet room, you know, drink a little bit of your favorite beverage, relax, and sit down and kind of contemplate a little bit and then start with a blank piece of paper and write down what do you want to do with your life? What are your hobbies? What are your favorite things? Maybe it's visiting with your family, spending more time with nieces and nephews that you're fond of or whatever it is. And but for me, it's professional goals and what I want to do and where I want to be at a certain point, like within a year or 2 years, etc. And write down what you want to do. And here's the problem. And this is what was instilled in you in grade school from the time you could pick your nose. Negativity was instilled into you. Remember when you had career day at school and you wanted to pick what you were going to do? And you would say, well, maybe a dentist, doctor, you know, lawyer, you know, farm worker, whatever you wanted to do. There was zero, absolutely negative creativity in that whole process, because the what you should have been doing is writing down what you like, what you want to do. And this is the negativity part, which was drilled into all of us at school in that horrific thing they call school. The modern day school is a piece of junk, worthless, and making kids sit there until they're 18 years old. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, the thing you should have been doing on career day is examining what you like to do. Because, you know, how many people have been lost? I actually know of people who are told, you can't do that, you know, to their face when they were kids. And anyway, I could go on and on about that. But you should sit down, especially young people, and write down what you want to do. And don't worry about, oh, I'm not going to make enough money at that. Don't worry about, oh, I can't do that. I don't have a good enough background for that. Don't think about that. In fact, thinking about careers is the wrong thing to do. What you should think about is where you want to be. Do you like to live in the city? Do you like to live in the country? You know, where do you want to live? What kind of life do you want to live? Do you want to, you know, be part of the urban hustle and bustle, or do you want to, you have nothing to do with it and live in the wide open spaces? You know, and this includes all kinds of things about your personal happiness. I remember going into a executive's office one time at the company where I worked one time, and when I actually had a real job, which I have had during my long, lengthy career. But I sat there and talked to him across his big desk, and up above behind his desk was a picture of the Rocky Mountains and a cabin sitting out there. And, you know, and I said, what's that? This is a nice picture, you know. And, oh, that's where I'm going to retire, you know, in the next 20 years. And I thought, you know, to live out there doesn't cost much money. This guy could retire right now. What's he doing here? If that's his dream, to go out and ride horses every day and ride and see the mountains, hey, get out of this executive job and go, you know, go live the life right now. What are you doing? You know, anyway, it's a good example of a guy who was doing something he really didn't like to do, and should have been out doing something he really liked to do. And so it's very important, but I also encourage kids to study science, and it's unfortunate the just garbage that's being pawned off as science to the world today. But anyway, back to the interview yesterday with Ernest Hancock, as we had it all set up, was going to be a Zoom teleconference with TV, everything. And a minute before the show was to start, all my systems went crashola. I went, and so I found a way to communicate where I was at, kind of a remote location. I was able to jerry-rig enough and get enough poor signal to get in and actually do about 5 minutes of the show. But somebody didn't want me to be on that show. But he talks about being basically a pirate. Well, a pirate is a guy who's got to live off the land, basically, who lives. And I told him about my, when I was young, a long time ago, I set up this white paper I wrote for myself. This is the point. And it basically was called Free Living. And, you know, you own your house, you own your car. Those are your big monthly payments. You know, and if you live in the U.S., you're going to be strapped with insurance. etc., things like that, and, you know, the real estate taxes and all the other stuff you got to pay for. But as close as you can get to this point of what I call free living, that's where you don't have monthly bills, you know, telecommunications should be free, and because that's, you know, or relatively free. These absolutely horrendous costs we're paying for telephones every month is because there's seven companies and they all have executives and they all have finance departments. It's duplication of services. They have duplication of physical services in the field. And I likened it one time. I gave it, I think in my paid cast, I talked about this. It's like having seven different road systems. And if you buy into the Verizon road system, you have to drive on this road system over here. And if you buy into the AT&T road system, you have to drive on all the AT&T roads. And it'd be like having seven different road systems in the country. It'd be pretty stupid. Well, that's what we got for a phone system. It's really stupid, and it's really expensive. And so anyway, the idea is, Ernest and I have very similar, in fact, I just got to know him a little while ago. But anyway, we are very like-minded. And so I'll be on that show again with Better Communication. So I want you to just be aware of that. So his name is Ernest Hancock. And so I encourage you to go visit his page. He's got a lot of great information there. Okay. Just a quick notice about the Roger Stone Gestapo, Herr Mueller Gestapo tactic arrest this past week. And, of course, Roger Stone, when they got at Manafort and all these other guys, they were trying to build up a case against Roger Stone. That was the target. And this week they arrested him with seven trumped-up charges of messing with witnesses, lying or something, you know, I don't know, just trumped up charges, seven of them. And so anyway, but at 6:30 in the morning, Gestapo arrest, CNN there with cameras filming it. And of course, they got a tip beforehand. Only CNN was there with full camera gear and filming it all, etc. So clearly this was a hit job. And I just want to give you a little more incentive. Roger Stone wrote a book about the Clintons and all of their dirty deeds over the years. But anyway, yeah, this is coming from the top. This is a Clinton hit job working through Mueller, who is in that same, the deep state, you could classify him. But they have a very weak set of charges against Roger Stone. Nothing to do with collusion, nothing to do with Trump. And they try and find these little things that you did wrong, which none of them would require jail time. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know that you can donate to Roger Stone's legal fund. Just look it up online. I'll try and put a posting on my webpage to donate, you know, 10, 15, 20 bucks. Because he's going to have millions of dollars in legal fees. It's not something you can do pro bono. This is something where you need serious legal representation. So I encourage you, if you so desire, to throw in a little money into Roger Stone. And he's taken it on the chin for all of the rest of us out here, basically because he was a Trump supporter. And I'm not a full 100% Trump supporter, especially with what he's doing lately in Venezuela, etc. I'll talk a little bit about that. But Roger Stone, throw him a few dollars, help out his waging war against the Gestapo that is running amok in Washington. Okay, next item here. I just can't believe it. A couple of months ago, NASA put out who's an idiot, he's a JPL idiot, Brian Wilcox, that NASA had been secretly behind the scenes in closed room discussion been talking about pumping vast amounts of water into the Yellowstone caldera in an attempt to cool it off. And according to their calculations, it would take 10,000 years to cool it off, and all of that water would go up as steam with high pollutants, high levels of very toxic pollutants in it. And then also chance that they could trigger an event that would cause the mega volcano to go off. What a bunch of complete idiots. Now, since that time, the Kilauea volcano in Hawaii went off, and they claimed they closed down a station. It was a geothermal electric generation station that was right at the volcano, and closed down another one that was over in California, deciding that it's not a good idea to pump water down into a volcanic caldera. Very stupid. So the same group of idiots at NASA, led by, once again, Brian Wilcox, idiot of the year, JPL, decided, and they're going to do this, I don't know who let these people out of their sandbox in the year 2022, they are sending up a spacecraft that's going to collide with an asteroid to move it off of its orbit. Now, boys and girls, there's some real problems with this, because asteroids move very fast, and they're going to have to come in and they're going to try and bump this thing sideways. So it's like a bullet coming along, crossing in front of you, and you're going to try and hit that with a bullet from the side. And now here's the problem. Asteroids are not perfectly shaped. They're irregular. And if you hit it with something, there's no guarantee that you're going to hit it on the dime exactly where you think you're going to hit it. So you could hit on the side of a crater. You could hit on the back side of the crater or on the front side of the crater, which would make the asteroid move in a different direction. But even worse, you could break that baby into a million pieces. And all of those pieces, some are going to react in the direction of the impacting satellite, and some are going to come back at the direction. So these pieces are going to be flying all over the place. Stupid. Really, really stupid. You do not impact an asteroid to move it off of its orbit. And furthermore, if this were a real situation where an asteroid would be on a direct collision course with Earth, here are the problems. Number one, your data could be suspect. In other words, the parameters, the orbital parameters, which tell you the exact orbit, could be off by just a little, out in that tenth decimal point. And if so, your nudge is going to possibly, and you say you were erroneous in your calculations, there are rounding errors in the computer calculations of orbits. So all of these errors taken into account, and plus they want to do this early, you know, months or possibly years before alleged asteroid, doomsday asteroid, would collide into Earth. And so there's a lot of error that goes into these calculations. And so by hitting it, they could actually create a situation where the asteroid would hit Earth, where it would not have hit Earth based on the fact that they had erroneous data, erroneous calculations, rounding errors. NASA made a mistake. Gee, could NASA ever make a mistake? The way you move asteroids, if you're going to do it, is with a thruster. You strap the thruster onto the asteroid and push it. But that's very difficult, and you could do this with lensing or aluminum foil parabolic dishes, very lightweight, and excite the material, melt the material, basically turn it into vapor, high temperature vapor, and shoot it out a cone on the side of the asteroid, and move the asteroid with a jet engine or rocket engine using the material of the asteroid itself. That would be the way to do it, not impacting at 6 kilometers per second. So once again, Idiot of the Year Award 2018 goes to Brian Wilcox, JPL. The Idiot of the Year Award 2019, we're only into January, goes to Brian Wilcox. What a ding-dong. Excuse me, but I just can't stand these people. They are so stupid. Okay, just a little bit of note here on the California fires. This thing with PG&E, they're blaming PG&E for causing these fires. Let me go back a little bit. PG&E has been on the financial rocks for a long time. I know people who worked for PG&E, and in fact in accounting, and their modus operandi was to spend as much money as possible, anything, put it on the books, because then they could charge the highest rates possible for electricity. All kinds of things that were not necessary. But financially, with the San Onofre reactor going down, that big fiasco, and by the way, I don't think the standard stories add up. In fact, there is no standard story. I think they had a nuclear event there. Nobody's talking about it. And they're letting people get cancer and basically hushing it up. You know, basically a nuclear shutdown due to emergency leaking of radioactive waste or something. Some kind of major event happened there to shut down that nuclear reactor. Okay, so anyway, the PG&E bankruptcy, now they blame it. Remember Mrs. O'Leary's cow with the Chicago fire? Well, they've pretty much proven that it was not Mrs. O'Leary's cow. In fact, she didn't even have cows when the fire started. The barn was not even in use. But because the Irish were taking a lot of heat at that time, they were coming into the country in larger numbers, let's put it that way. They wanted to blame it on the Irish Catholics as the problem. Okay, so anyway, it wasn't Mrs. O'Leary. Now in the California fires, they want to blame it on a Mrs. What's her name? Fetz or something like that. A woman who didn't even live on this farm, saying it was electrical equipment installed not to code, and therefore she was the one that caused the fire. Complete nonsense. But this is the clincher. The news media goes out and finds a guy literally named Charlie Brown, and that's their key witness, saying that no, Mrs. whatever her name is, did not live there at the time, and the electric wiring in question was not even in use for a very long time. And the chief witness, Charlie Brown. I mean, you can't make this up. Excuse me. I just, you know, my forehead is getting dented from hitting it with my hand. So anyway, but the bottom line is the PG&E bankruptcy is going to be a giant mess for Californians who should are paying right now probably 60% more. And lo and behold, the government of California comes along and says all new houses in California will have to have solar panels. And so that puts another 10 grand cost. Nice for the solar companies. If you can get that kind of business to require the state governor to declare that your product has to go into every new house to the tune of 10 grand, it's pretty good for business. Anyway, totally absurd because solar does not work. I know people in California who have solar, and it's grid connect, and in most cases, they will never pay back these calculations that they do, saying that you're going to save money and you should have a big smile on your face. No, forget it. And also solar panels, what they've done is they've flooded the market with cheap solar panels that break down within the first couple years. So you don't even get a couple years out of your solar panels. And you don't know where these things are coming from. A lot of off-market solar panels. And to boot, they are highly polluting. Solar panels, photovoltaic panels are some of the most polluting before, during manufacturing, and after junking them, some of the most polluting of what do you call alternative energy devices on the planet. You know, three-blade wind generators, there are now 14,000 of them that are defunct in the United States, and nobody's going to go out there and take these things down. It's, I mean, alternative energy in my book, 2009, McCanny Wing Generator World Energy Project, I have a chapter entitled The Myth of Alternative Energy. And it discusses everything that's happening today, I predicted in that book. And of course, I knew about this in 2004 when I started doing my energy studies, etc. I said, hey, this stuff isn't going to work and it's going to become a big problem. And I also said that if you took a solar panel, made it 100% efficient, let it cost a penny a piece, it would not solve the world energy problem. And that's why they're promoting, the local power companies are promoting solar, because they know it will not compete with their bottom line of holding reins and control of the power system. China, along this same vein, China last April put a moratorium on solar panels. I've talked about this before. Solar panels, China is the biggest installer of solar panels on the planet. And all of a sudden, they woke up one day and they said, okay, no more. And there were all of these international industries, including the United States, including Europe, including China, who are making solar panels for this vast Chinese solar panel market. And all of a sudden, the Chinese go, no more. And those, the next day, the stocks plummeted. They just went through the basement because that was their big market. And so recently, they've been trying to get China to buy these solar panels, you know, this glut of solar panels, at under market. So that undercut the Chinese production of solar panels. So they still want their cake and eat it too. So China put an artificial price and said, we will buy solar panels, but at a certain price, marking the price up very high. And it'll be interesting to see if they only buy Chinese solar panels to keep, subsidize that market, subsidize those industries. Okay, it doesn't get any crazier than that. Here's a very positive topic. Recently, and I want you to go check this out, work by, now I've talked about this woman before in my show, Yvonne Whiteman, is from England, has done very excellent work on the Colburn. And so her latest article, I think it's number 9 in a series, is available. Just look it up on the internet. Yvonne with a Y, Yvonne Whiteman, just like it sounds, Whiteman, Yvonne Whiteman, and look up Colburn and you'll find the link to her article. And the latest one, very interesting, is on the Colburn, discussing the afterlife as represented in the Colburn, relating it back to ancient Egypt, etc. It's a amazingly well-written article, as are all of her articles. And this, you know, when the Colburn first came out, the reason I have an affinity for the Colburn is because when it first came out, it was held in trust by the Chaldean Trust, is the front group that basically is visible to the, you, the public. But there is another trust that sits behind that that held the Colburn for thousands of years. The Colburn, by the way, is available in e-format now. I have a link on my webpage. Buy it only from the Chaldean Trust. Do not get the ding-dong Amazon promoted copy, because that is not the Colburn. And the Colburn is not a Bible. The Colburn is a collection of books that came from the library of Joseph of Arimathea, who was Christ's great uncle. It was Mary's uncle, Mary, mother of Christ, And this was from his library that ended up in the Abbey at Glastonbury in England. After the crucifixion, Joseph took Mary Magdalene, and the cross, and the chalice from the Last Supper, and other artifacts to England and his library. And at some point, the Roman army went out there to try and burn it down. And what was left in trust was eventually, in the early 1990s, put together and compiled, and that result was the Colburn, which you can get now, and it's a extremely important historical book. But the reason I have an affinity for this is because the first three copies, one of them, that trust that held the Colburn, got it into my hands through some intermediate people. But I got one of the first three copies, and they wanted me to interpret it. And so I went in, and I was like, when I was reading this, I was like, the hair on the back of my neck was standing up, because the plasma discharge comet model and the Colburn talking about the rebirth of man and the comets fighting, they called them the sky monsters, all figuratively speaking. But, and I've talked about this, I have sessions of this on my paid cast. So anyway, I have a great affinity for this book. And then immediately when I announced this, this was in my, I believe, 2003 book called Atlantis to Tesla, The Colburn Connection, the CIA, which is the police force of the World Bank, came out and did everything they could do to underscore the Colburn. And I won't even go into all of the dirty tricks that they pulled trying to destroy the Colburn. But it is an immensely valuable set of books, because the Bible, the Gutenberg Bible or the St. James Version or whatever version of the Bible you get, Old Testament, New Testament, has been so doctored, so watered down, so misinterpreted, so changed, that it's hardly even recognizable. And so the Colburn bridges all of this, and that's what the basically secret societies, etc., did not want you, the public, to see. So the Colburn has been just on the internet or other, what you might call sources, have just attempted to destroy the Colburn. But it is the amazingly wonderful work of Yvonne Whiteman that brings the Colburn to life, and some of these topics that are very esoteric for most of us, very difficult to read or interpret, and she makes it so clear. So once again, go check that out. Do a search. You'll find it on the internet. Yvonne Whiteman, articles on the Colburn. And some of her previous ones deal with Moses leaving Egypt with the Israelites and the events surrounding that. It's just amazing, amazing work. But it also brings the Colburn to life, showing that it is, in fact, a viable and most important historical book. And as I said, go to the links on my webpage, the links for the Chaldean Trust, only buy the Colburn there. And I would recommend, if you got the money, buy the $100 version, which is the hardbound, beautiful book with the Celtic scroll on the cover, etc. And I also have the electronic version myself, because when I travel, then I can read the Colburn and study it when I'm traveling, and without carrying the big heavy book around. But I, you know, on my bookshelf, I have the big beautiful Colburn. Okay, so, and by the way, when I first got that in my hands, it was like, what is this? This is like a book out of just, it was so invaluable. Something that is that precious, that valuable, and a link to the past with all the archaeology work that I've done, etc. This was just more than amazing. Okay, so off to a topic. I want to talk a little bit about Venezuela. I don't know. I think lately Trump is taking stupid pills, but it's very clear that Trump is very controlled on certain issues, including science, including space, including NASA. Trump is taking stupid pills. But his involvement now in Venezuela is pure CIA. This is pure CIA meddling in a South American country. And then I did take a quick peek on CNN, where they totally distort the picture. They say that most, in CNN, they say that most South American countries favor this Guido guy, who is the CIA pawn in Venezuela to try and disrupt everything. There are not thousands and thousands of people protesting. If you look at the videos show people who are supporting Maduro, and they're saying that they're supporting this Guido guy. And there's a few people in the street burning cars, maybe 20 people, typical false reporting. But the false reporting, fake news from CNN, trying to pretend that most, the reality is that the vast majority of South American countries support Maduro, the elected president of Venezuela. And he was elected by the people. And the real situation is as follows. Venezuela has the oil potential to tip the balance of finances worldwide. Russia has left Russia has left the G8. They both left and were kicked out at the same time, one of those deals. China, Russia, Iran, and other countries, including Venezuela, have moved off of the petrodollar. And so that's why they're trying to block. Now, Venezuela has been under embargo for quite a few years now, back into the Chavez days. Maduro has been there a number of years, but back into the Chavez days, the CIA tried to kill Chavez many times, did not succeed. The U.S. has been in there trying to upset the duly elected governor, representative, president of Venezuela for a long time. And so first they, it's like backing an animal into a corner and sticking a broom in his face and then going, look at, he's mean, he's barking, he's biting at the broom. That's what they're doing to Venezuela. And there's a long list was put out of all of the different monetary support that the United States is giving to opposition in Venezuela, trying to upset the apple cart. The people, now, I happen to know personally a lot of people from Venezuela that are in the United States that left, and also a lot of people in Venezuela who are living there. And the situation in Venezuela is not with people. This is all Western news hype. And I'm surprised that Trump, being the person that was subject to fake news, is now the perpetrator of fake news against Venezuela and supporting a guy who never even ran for office. This Guido guy comes out of left field. He never even ran for office. How can you say he's the president? So this is getting goofy. Like I say, I think Pompeo is like, I don't know, he's just a loudmouth jerk. And Trump must be taking stupid pills, because now you have Russian bombers in Venezuela. High altitude, the Russians' biggest, most powerful, carrying nuclear bombs in Venezuela. I mean, what's Trump thinking? To take, basically a little banana republic of very little import. And the whole reason here is because Saudi Arabia is jerking Trump's chain. That's just the size of it. Because Venezuela has as much oil as all of OPEC put together. And so Venezuela can tip the scale of world oil. In fact, England just blocked $1.2 billion of gold going back to Venezuela. It's a big mess. This is a big mess that did not have to happen. And I think there's something even greater going on here. And I will say it, because Russia has been a bit aggressive with U.S. military doing flyovers, etc. But I think that the planners, the military planners in the United States, are thinking that they better have a war with Russia very soon, because Russia is progressing at a lot faster rate militarily than the United States, as is China. And the United States can't keep up. I'll be very frank with you. The United States, if it got into a real shooting war with Russia or China, or the two of them, and both China and Russia have told the United States to stay out of Venezuela, there's indications that the U.S. is sending troops to be on the border from Colombia, the next door neighbor to Venezuela. And of course, this is back to the CIA days before the Vietnam War, where they were stationing personnel there without basically congressional approval. This is the same situation, but Russia and China, if the U.S. got in war with Russia and China, the U.S. would get its butt kicked. And I don't care who you are or what kind of drum beating you want to do, that is reality. And so, excuse me, but I don't know what Trump kind of stupid pills this guy has taken, but this is not what he was elected for. He was not elected to go become involved in a third world country and start beating the war drum. Oh my goodness. So anyway, that's all I'm going to say. There's a very long list of agencies and organizations and news media that the U.S. has been pouring money into. There's talk about the U.S. providing arms to the opposition in Venezuela. It's really a mess. And this kind of came out of nowhere, that the U.S. is supporting some guy in a foreign country in Venezuela who never ran for election, never had any kind of vote, in proclaiming him president over somebody who was elected in an election in that country, which the CIA has been highly involved in trying to obfuscate and basically infiltrate those elections. And the CIA has lost every time, just like they did in Cuba. So what they're trying to do is back Maduro in Venezuela into a corner and have them come out fighting, and then say, oh, look, we've got to take them out. They're too militant to be in a peaceful country. And so the rhetoric that's coming out of the United States and the UN, etc., is twisted. It's like I say, you take an animal, put him in a corner, and start shaking a broom in his face, and when the animal raises back and grits his teeth, you go, oh, he's too mean to be, we got to cage this guy up. And justifying all of the decades-long embargo. And that's why Venezuela is having a tough time economically. But then they say, oh, if you accept this Guaido guy as your president, then we'll come along with all kinds of aid that'll bring Venezuela back. It's really, really double talk. So anyway, this is a big mess. This is a big mess. And the United States has put its foot forward, and this is not going to turn around until it becomes really, really ugly. And none of this had to happen. It's because, like I say, Trump's taking stupid pills. He's being run by the CIA. And, this is CIA all the way. Okay, so let me jump over a little bit here to some science topics, and I'm sorry I have to dwell on some of these issues here, but everything I've touched on tonight these are very important issues, these are very current issues, and they are literally of worldwide importance. I can't believe it. I just want to mention, when I was talking about PG&E going bankrupt, this is the first bit. This is prepping the public for utilities to go bankrupt. The next big one that I predict is going to be XL Energy, the Minnesota-based company that actually I did a study on back in early 2000s, around 2004, and that is what prompted me to understand that alternative energy was a farce. The horrific inefficiency of high energy content fuels like nuclear, coal, etc., burning them for electricity, and how ridiculous that is. But I knew at that point that the nuclear facilities were way out of arriving at the end of their commissioned lifetimes. They were burning high-octane fuel. The reason that Russia and the United States started decommissioning nuclear warheads was to convert that into fuel to be burned in commercial nuclear power plants for electricity. And something that those facilities were never, ever meant to burn. It would be like taking a Ford Escort and putting nitrogen-based racing fuel in it and driving it up and down the road at 120 miles an hour. That's the equivalent of what they've been doing. So anyway, these nuclear power plants are all leaking. It's an absolute disaster, but I predict that XL Energy, in fact, had a telltale sign. They went to the Minnesota legislature, the state legislature of Minnesota, and asked for like $20 billion. First, they asked for $2 billion, but the real price tag, because they either have to do upgrades to the two nuclear power plants that are in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, the Monticello and then the Prairie Island facilities, are in dire need of upgrades and maintenance, and they're, along with all the other facilities in the country, are leaking. So they don't know how bad these are because there's no way to get in there and actually examine them, the underground piping, the cooling system, etc. And so they don't have any money to decommission these. It's a real big problem. So the only thing that XL Energy is going to be able to do is to restructure financially, and that means a Chapter 11 bankruptcy. That's the way we talk about it. And of course, a business like that would call it restructuring. But PG&E, without these fires, would also have to financially restructure because of the, like I say, the San Onofre. There's no way they can just sweep these debts under the rug. So this is the first in a long series of bankruptcies. And along with this will go the alternative energy industry because the power companies sell this or promote this idea of solar panels, and XL is very big into three-blade wind generators. If you ever want to have a good time, drive down through Iowa, the Dakotas, west southwestern Minnesota, Nebraska, Kansas, and look at the fields of wind turbines out there, three-blade wind turbines, not spinning. Not doing anything. You can go any day of the month, week. You don't have to plan it based on weather or wind or anything else. Just drive out there and you'll find none of them working. So XL has this vast investment in three-blade wind turbines, which don't do anything. And of course, they want to put in more and they want to encourage solar. That's pretty ridiculous. I'm sure people sitting in this so-called solar vortex, which I'll be talking about in a minute, ridiculous new term, that XL Energy is short-term for this world economically. And then we're going to see other, all of the electric power companies are at the edge of their financial existence. And for the same reason, they can't afford the infrastructure. They all have some nuclear power plants associated with them, and they have not been saving the money that it's going to take to decommission the nuclear power plants. And even the amount of money they were supposed to save, would never be enough to decommission these plants because they're all leaking. There was the assumption when they were required to put money into a slush fund to decommission these plants that they would all be in relatively good condition when it came time to decommission, and that isn't the case at all. Okay, so a little side note there on the state of things in relative to power companies in the United States. I want to talk now about this solar vortex. Now, this is a popularized term. Remember when a year or two ago, when they started talking about the double wall on hurricanes, the double eye wall, phony. What they were doing there was covering up the fact that those hurricanes were manipulated, and that's the appearance of the eye wall when you're dragging it along with the laser satellite. It changes the eye wall in that direction, and it's very visible. So the news media came on and actually created a term called double eye wall to cover up. And of course, they didn't know it. These are just bozos on the news media reporting what they're told to report, reading a script. So when the same news media comes along and tells you there's a polar vortex, let me explain something. And you can do this. I suggest you do this. Go to the internet, to your browser, and pull up, just say wind, and then null school, NULLCHOOL. Wind null school, and you'll find the very top thing that'll pop up on your browser is it's a wind project that shows the entire Earth. And you'll see if you look at the northern hemisphere, you can put your mouse on this and make it turn so you can see any point on Earth. And if you're looking at the northern hemisphere, all of the cyclonic movement, is moving in the counterclockwise direction. And in the southern hemisphere, it's in the clockwise direction. But you see these, and the vortex is not the correct term. If you look up the definition of vortex, it implies a circular motion, something that's sucking things into the central region. And that's the opposite of the cyclonic movement of air along in the surface of the Earth. But so that what they're saying is that every now and then there's a vortex. Well, a vortex refers to like when you pull the plug out of a tub and it's full of water. That's a vortex because it's going down. It's going that rotary motion, and it's going down and sucking the whatever is in there down a hole. That's a vortex by the truest sense of the definition. And so there's nothing near the North Pole that somehow it gives you this implication that there's some kind of circular motion that's sucking the air down from the North Pole. No, the Earth all the time has dozens of cyclonic storms. They're low pressure cells, and it's because of electrical currents from the ionosphere. And so when some of these get teamed together in the right pattern, they will drag air off of the circular pattern up by the North Pole and drag it down. And when I was a kid, there was no such thing as a solar vortex. Why is there now? It's the same world weather patterns. It's goofiness. It's something to give the weather people something to talk about. But when I was a kid, there were jet streams. We called it the Alberta Clipper. That's because the jet stream from the North Pole came down across Alberta through Minnesota, where I was a kid, grew up, and yeah, we had 40 below 0 days, just like you're having now, and it would extend all the way down through the mid-states, Iowa, you know, the Indiana, Ohio, and sometimes all the way down to Florida, back in the 50s. But these could be manipulated also, but you're getting some horrendous weather up there. But let me repeat, there's no such thing as a solar vortex. That's a term that the weather people have grabbed a hold of. There's no such thing as a weather, as a polar vortex. It's just a cyclonic movement based on normal weather patterns. And I will repeat, these could be manipulated, just like hurricanes, just like other cyclonic types of storms. Tornadoes can be manipulated, etc. And I don't know if these are manipulated, but there's a lot of crazy Dr. Strangelove types of people walking around with the ability to do this. So in this crazy world, you can bet that if something could happen that's crazy, it will happen. So anyway, just want to remind you again, I'll be a guest again here with Ernest Hancock in the next day or so. We scheduled a podcast, so that'll be pre-recorded and available. I don't know when that's going to be airing, and so look for that. And then also my book, you can pre-release purchase my book, not giving out the title or topic, but the benefit of pre-purchase is that you will get the release email to download on the day of the release. And you get it for a little better price. People that purchase after are going to pay a little more. There's a couple of ways to purchase it. Go to my webpage, jmccsci.com. If you buy more than $350 worth of stuff on my page, including the water filter stuff, etc., not hard to do, you will get the book for free. If you buy just the book, it'll be $24.95. And it comes with a lot of supporting material. So you will not just get the book. You will get a lot of supporting material. The release will be on February 13th, Wednesday, on the John Moore Show, Republic Broadcasting, etc. And so also I encourage people to please join my paid cast. That's $3.95 a month. And you'll get a tremendous amount of really important information. So if you have not joined the paid cast, or if you know somebody, if you're a paid cast member and you know somebody that is not. Also, I almost forgot, the new MR7s are in stock, ready to ship. This is the replacement. Now, this is the new version of the whole house filter. So just go to my webpage. It's intermediate between the MR5 and the MR9. It's the one I'm going to be selling now. So it's an excellent, excellent whole house filter. It takes out everything you don't want, leaves the minerals. It's the only thing on the market like it. Let's go to the webpage, jmccsci.com. This is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.